Veterans Affairs already faces more than 1 billion attempts at cyber attacks every month. But as the complexity and volume of cyber threats increases there and across the government, VA's IT officials are starting to prepare for a worst-case scenario. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on how VA hopes to keep its mission services going in the face of 2 or 3 billion attacks every month. Jason, that seems like an almost unbelievable number, but yet it's really happening.
It is, Tom. I mean, it is growing, and VA is facing this with what they're calling, or maybe I'm calling it, a doomsday scenario in many ways, because the volume, the rate, the complexity, everything is increasing, increasing, increasing. So in many ways, what would a doomsday scenario look like? Well, for any agency, whether it's VA or any organization throughout the country, it would be a cyber attacks that there's just so many. They're trying to penetrate the network, so many attempts to steal the data, that the infrastructure basically just shuts down. It basically, we just can't keep up, and it just gets taken down. Not even a denial of service attack, but just, the infrastructure gets so overwhelmed, or bad actors just get through and have free will inside the network. Now, let's be clear, Tom, VA is very far from facing this kind of attack and suffering from these type of problems, but IT officials see the rate and volume of attacks just building and building each month. Steph Warren is the VA Chief Information Officer. He says attacks against VA's networks increased to more than a billion in March, came in just under a billion in April, and that's up from only 300 million in November. So as you can see, Tom, just 6 months, they've tripled in terms of the number of attacks they're seeing. Now, Warren says while the number of attacks did decrease in April as compared to March, the signs are clear that any network, no matter the organization, must prepare for the future. Warren says in a call with reporters on Tuesday that VA still is at what he calls an elevated state of cybersecurity. I'll call it DEFCON 3 for those of you who remember, for instance, the 1980s movie War Games.
Sure.
He says he asked his security team what would happen if they went to what he calls severe, or I'll call DEFCON 4, and what would happen if they went to critical, or I'll call it again DEFCON 5, because of so many cyber attacks.
Go look at all of the different controls, all of the different additional enhancements we would put in place as we cross those thresholds. And so the team has already had their first meeting on that last week. And then we're having an internal cybersecurity summit on the 3rd, the 9th, and the 10th, starting with internal IT workforce across the leadership. Okay, let's make sure we understand what the boundaries are, and then move across, bring the customer in, the administrations, and talk about what are the potential mission impacts as we continue to strengthen and build on the protections we have. So, again, the team is working through. Once they're done, they will lay out for leadership, okay, where do we need to take this, such that we're prepared for whatever happens out in the environment. As that level of risk goes up, as the threats continue to increase, what are the additional protections we can put in place, recognizing we're an organization that has a day-to-day operational mission.
Now, Warren says, obviously, the cyber summit must begin with the IT and cyber folks, but the business folks have to play a big role, because really any decision that his office really makes must be based on mission needs.
Having the team sit down and ask, if we cross the threshold that requires us to go to severe, what would we be doing? What systems would we be tamping down? What controls would we be putting in place? What additional things would we be blocking? And it was more than just the IT folks saying, okay, flip the switch. It's, okay, lay those out. Sit down with the mission folks and say, okay, if we cross this threshold, we take it to the next infocom level, and that would mean we do this and this and this and this and this. What is the mission impact? And what do we need to do today to ameliorate the potential mission impact? So it is sitting down and thinking through, as the risk continues, as the threat continues to grow, if we cross some thresholds, what will we end up doing? And let's make sure we understand what the consequences are, intended or unintended, so there's not a sudden mission impact without us understanding what the potential mission impact is and what do we need to do about it.
Now, Warren says there are things that VA can do today, and they are doing to make sure the department can better withstand the volume and complexity of the attacks, and especially as they grow. Part of the reason for this slight overall decrease from March to April, Warren says, is the continued implementation of cyber tools and services from the Homeland Security Department, including the Einstein 3 program.
All right, so that gets us to the whole idea of continuous monitoring. Now, we've talked a lot about what VA is doing to reassure veterans that the department is protecting their data. Really, its data is their data. And so what do they think that will be different this time around in terms of their focus on continuous monitoring?
Yeah, I think you're right, Tom. You know, VA has been under continued and very lot of scrutiny for its efforts for protecting its networks and data of the millions of veterans. You know, as we reported last week, VA has failed its 16th straight FISMA audit. But we also reported that several things that VA did since November, including placing 170 contractors across 140 sites to reduce the number of severe and critical vulnerabilities in their systems. Warren says VA has decreased that number of overall vulnerability problems by 67% since November. But one of the major problems is the turnover in that cyber operational role. And I think that's part of the reason why VA has been struggling. By my count, as many as six people have held that cyber operational role over the last 2 years. Some were brought in, some were promoted from within to run these cyber operations. Now, this is different from the chief information security officer per se. This is the person who's actually running the day-to-day operations side. Now, all of them eventually left after a short time, 4 months to about a year, and now Dan Galick is the latest person that VA has given the reins to. Now, each reason for leaving is different, obviously. Now, some are related to challenges internally, some are better job opportunities externally, but this lack of consistency, whether it's VA or really any program, really does hurt the program and damages the ability to reach an intended impact. Now, I asked Warren about this turnover in the cyber operational roles. He says, listen, the program was at different stages, and CRISP, which is their continuous monitoring program, needed leaders with different skill sets at different times. Warren says CRISP, or any other program for that matter, really must be based on a set of processes and procedures and not based on a person or personality.
There is heavy senior leadership engagement on that. So the deputies are involved, all of the senior execs are involved, and we basically amped it up. So giving Dan support such that as things need to execute, they execute. And when we put him in place, one of the things that we did was we made sure we went around the table with all of my deputies and said, okay, you basically are giving Dan the authority to succeed, and you're allocating one of your key individuals to be on Dan's team. Because we're trying to make sure the individual in the role has the authority, has the resources to make sure we make it happen. And so that's why I talked about amping it up. We moved from policy and procedure to execution. Dan is well suited to carry that out. And he's got all our support. We made sure, and Dan was very clear, I need your support, and every day he asked for it. I need your support, and everybody is given that unconditionally.
Now, you heard Steph Warren talk about broad support, and that's very important without a doubt. But one source tells me that really the problem is a lack of integration across IT domains. That is really the problem that VA continues to face. The source who has knowledge of VA's cybersecurity infrastructure says the agency has thrown money at the problem, but the issue is a lack of a comprehensive cyber strategy to bring all the pieces and parts together so they know that each domain is being protected equally and together.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, it's often said that when you develop new online products for, say, constituents like veterans, it's necessary to build the cybersecurity into it instead of try to add to it later. How is VA trying to improve its product development to take into account cybersecurity and how veterans happen to use its particular services?
Yeah, Tom, I think you're absolutely right. That is such a key piece of when, and especially with VA moving so quickly onto web applications. And we just saw what happened with the IRS just last night with the move to web applications. VA has the same concerns. So they're trying to do two big things. First, Warren says they recently hired Greg Ambrose. He's going to come over to VA from the State Department to be the deputy CIO for product development. Warren says Ambrose will replace Lorraine Landfried, who left in July 2014. Ambrose will join VA at the end of May, and he brings a lot of background in project management, acquisition management, and Ambrose also will help VA continue to move to agile development, something we obviously hear a lot about. Now, along those same lines, as we talk about agile, Warren says VA's digital services team is up to 12 people, has a goal of 25 by the end of the year and 75 by the end of fiscal 2016.
They're starting out on my VA. But the whole reason I had them come out to our developer conference is we need to embed them and make them a part of our other work that's taking place in terms of helping us make sure the knowledge that they're bringing to the table, the speed to market, the flexibility of their stack, their infrastructure stack. How do we take advantage of that as we continue to evolve major systems at the VA? So the intent is not just my VA, but getting them integrated in with the rest of our team. I've tried very, very hard to make sure it's not a us and them. They are part of the team. We look at them as a resource, and they look at themselves as a resource. I mean, one of the things that we've talked about, and we've all agreed, it's not the intent. There's a management style called management by seagull, where you come in, you make a lot of noise, you crap all over the place, and you leave. And we've all committed that the DSE's folks are not seagulls. They're coming in, they're making long-term changes, they're owning those changes, and we as a team are supporting those changes going forward.
Now, Warren says the digital services team obviously is also bringing in new experiences and skill sets, and the way they need to integrate them into how VA is building services for veterans, and that Tom's also going to include cybersecurity, not just, hey, let's move everything to the web and make everything better. I mean, there's got to be all the pieces and parts, again, that are integrated and connected.
I guess the only thing worse than seagulls is Canada geese coming over. But, this morning been talking about the IRS breach, and it's really not a breach that happened at IRS.
Correct.
It's that someone got credentials. Who knows where they got them? They could have gotten them from a credit card company, from a car
Open
company.
Open source.
Yeah,
Facebook. So much of that's available.
Yeah, and so they used it to get in, and so that brings up the idea of the two-factor authentication, and I imagine that's the type of thing VA must be looking at for new services it builds online for veterans, so that even if the VA systems aren't breached, they can't be misused by people who got information somewhere else.
I think you're right. Now, VA has been pushing towards the use of HSPD-12, identity smart cards on their internal network systems, but they also are partnering with GSA and the Postal Service on something called Connect.gov. We've talked a lot about that. That used to be called the Federal Cloud Credentialing Exchange. And they're one of the earlier adopters of this, what they call, kind of third-party authentication. So that's Google or PayPal or Verizon or ID.me, where you take those credentials that are given to you by this third party, and you can use it across the government on different systems that, have made the decision to accept these credentials, but because the credentials meet a certain set of security standards as well.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for that update.
Always a pleasure, Tom.